The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by drawyourpicture.com, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others. See what I can do for you at drawyourpicture.com. Also by our patrons like Jake Yandel, James Forshee, and James Spangler, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Join today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. Whoops. Join today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow.
Kia ora, this is Elizabeth from New Zealand, and you're listening to That Story Show. And for the record, it's caramel.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
You're watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, podcast people, this is That Story Show, where we bring your real-life stories into the spotlight. It is episode 417, brought to you the week of July 14th, 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison. My good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John. James, did you hear about those two guys that stole a calendar?
No.
Yeah, they did. They both got 6 months.
Oh, so they didn't.
Did I tell that one already? It sounds so familiar.
I don't know. I don't think so.
It's been a couple weeks anyway,
man.
Six months, man. Was it worth it, you ask? I don't think so.
I don't know. But how are you? How are you doing, John?
Oh man. It is the second week of July here?
Yeah.
And
same here.
It's good. I just got over a little bit of a COVID thing.
Look at there.
Yep.
Well, we missed you.
So I might sound a little strange, but maybe I sound awesome. I don't know.
Yeah, you do sound awesome, John. You do. Sound awesome. Well, we missed everybody the last couple weeks, so we're glad to be back. So anyway, we are back. So now we're going to read you a story. It's our opening story, because we always start with a story. This is Jody B. from Beaver Creek, Ohio. She says, I was visiting my mom and her husband in Texas, and I had my two small children with me. My son is almost two. My daughter was about 6 months old. My mom had made a wonderful dinner of fried chicken with the fixings and apple pie in the evening. And I got there, and she worked really hard cooking. Later that night, she said she didn't feel real well, so she went to bed early. I woke up the next morning with my baby daughter, and I fed her, changed her, took her into my mom's bedroom, and laid her next to her as a sweet wake-up sight for my mom. That is sweet, unless the baby stinks. She made sure of that. As they laid there, I thought I would let them spend some alone time together, so I thought it would be a great time to make my mom breakfast in bed, since she had made that wonderful dinner for us the night before. I thought, hey, pancakes, they're easy enough. So
yeah.
I searched around the kitchen. I couldn't find the normal type of butter that I used from the fridge. But I did find a small pail with some cooking oil in it. And I thought, hey, I'll just put the cooking oil in the pan. I'll cook the pancakes and they'll be fine. So I made the pancake batter. I got the cooking oil nice and warm, and I proceeded to make some nice fluffy pancakes. And I took the nice breakfast into my mom, who was laying there with my baby, and my baby was cooing and smiling. It was just this great moment for them and for me. So as my mom was eating her pancakes, I mentioned to her that I couldn't find butter in the fridge. So I used the oil that was in the small pail. to cook the pancakes in, and she got very, she got a weird look on her face. She stopped chewing her pancakes immediately. She asked me, what pail of cooking oil? And I said, the one that was sitting on the counter next to the stove. And she got an even weirder look on her face. And she told me that it was not cooking oil. It was used fish oil that they had used to fry fish in. Yikes. She asked me if I had not noticed that the oil was a little dirty and fish dirt in it. So I told her I didn't. I didn't pay too much attention. I was probably sleep deprived from the plane ride with an almost 2-year-old and a 6-month-old by myself the day before. Yeah. Just blame it on mom stuff. You know, I asked my mom why she kept eating them this whole time. And she said she didn't want to make me feel bad, even though they tasted a little fishy. Well, we had a good laugh about it and have for many years after that. Jody B. from Beaverton Creek, Ohio. That's amazing.
Something fishy about these pancakes.
Thanks, sweetie. They're wonderful. They have an interesting aftertaste.
What'd you make these out of, by the way? Just questioning.
Just
why?
Why do I want lemon and butter on my pancakes?
Hmm.
Oh,
I feel like some Old Bay would be good with these. Old Bay seasoning.
You know, I'm trying to find the words to describe these pancakes. I keep fishing for them and nothing's coming, you know? So.
I can see that you're floundering around with those, Mom. What's wrong?
Your salmon was, never mind. I have nothing. I ran out. I just wanted to say salmon. Anyway, it's time for us to rewind the week.
Rewinding.
Okay, so
I think that mom got catfished by this pancake.
Gosh, sorry. That's punishment.
I'm sorry for
your joke.
It's just the post-COVID cloud
you
brain.
Should have tuned that into a better joke. So stupid. So that was so dumb. That was so dumb. That was mine. Was the
I'm
worst.
Laughing. I got a little sweat from that laugh effect.
So dumb. Anyway, okay. So it's been a while, and we went on a vacation. Vacation is where you go where you relax, but we went to visit family, and so that's a trip. You know what
right,
I'm saying?
That's right. It's, you know, a trip.
So we went from St. Louis to Florida, North Florida, South Georgia, and visited my brother, which was awesome. My mom, my sister, we got to see Jen's dad and mom and sister, and we got to see the nieces and nephews, and it was really great, and it was awesome. But on the way back, I was driving, and I've lived in Florida most of my life, I would say, you know, and everybody that doesn't live in Florida thinks, first of all, that Florida is wonderful, and it is in its own way, but it's not. Also, it has nature. Yeah. and the nature wants you to leave Florida. So, you know, there's lots of critters, and there's lots of vegetation that is poisonous and stingers. And, you know, it's just there's the moss. People will pick moss off the trees and bring it home. And they don't know that there's red bugs in the moss that will embed themselves in your skin, you know.
It's make you itchy.
Yeah, it's just terrible. It's a terrible place. And there's also alligators and
snakes.
And when we lived in Florida, my wife had a weird idea. She was like, she had heard about an alligator, you know, getting in somebody's pool. And this is apparently a fairly common occurrence, because where we lived, there was a lot of canals And gators just love shallow water, you know. They love the canal mm-hmm. system, and so they
hang out there.
So she looked up on the city website, what do you do when you get a gator in your pool? And they said, don't call us. It's your gator.
Don't call the city.
Yeah, don't call animal control. They're not going to send anybody out. You have to hire somebody to come out and remove the alligator. So I thought that was pretty, I was like, what are our taxes going to, you know, if you're not going to remove an alligator? But anyway, all that to say that when we were on our trip, I saw something I'd never seen. I've lived in Florida my whole life and never seen an alligator on the side of the road. That's not really true. There was one time when I was a kid, there was an alligator on the side of the road and a lot of tourists had pulled over and they were taking pictures of it. And I was like, they're so stupid because this thing could just launch out and attack them. And what would they do? I mean, their entire body length, they can run pretty fast is a thing that people don't know about them. So anyway, so I've seen one, but, what I did see when I was heading back to the airport on our last day is an alligator on the side of the road, but it was headless. It was a headless alligator. Somebody had run over it.
Oh,
and so my real first, you know, one-on-one with an alligator on the road was a headless alligator. Dang, somebody
saw a headless alligator.
Hit an alligator. That's so weird. That there's nothing more Florida than that, you know.
Yeah,
having them in your pool is one thing, but saying I was driving along and this alligator was just cruising, man, past me, and I couldn't move. I couldn't avoid it. I just creamed it. I just never heard of anybody ever hitting an alligator before. I wondered what it did to the vehicle. You know, I don't understand. Really,
that's weird.
So,
headless alligator
ran
over.
Just let him stay there. You know, he's probably still there to this day. But anyway, that's pretty much all I've got.
Sounds like Florida. Well, I'm glad that you had a good trip.
Yeah, yeah. It was an interesting trip. You know, family's always fun in spurts, short spurts. You know. So you get there and you start feeling like a kid, you know, because your sisters and brothers are around and your mom's there and, you know, it's interesting, but, it was good. It was good. So, my mom did go up to my daughter and she says, you know, I'm going to give you my car one day. And I didn't hear much about the conversation, but I did go up to Jenna and I was like, you do realize she meant when she was dead, right? She's going to give you her car when she's dead. And she goes, oh no, she told me that. She told me that right at the beginning. I was like, okay.
When I die.
She's making preparations. So
is she?
Yeah.
Huh.
So
wow.
She's like 78. So
78. Your mom and my dad are almost the same age.
Yeah. I think she's never going to die. Sense, she's right? going to live forever. So,
Mom, you've been promised to give that car away for years.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not going to nobody.
Who knows what shape it'll be in by the time, you know, it's ready to be given away. But yeah, I thought that was nice. A very just kind of an awkward conversation to have with your grandchild, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I don't even know what to say about that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, she told me. No big deal.
No big deal.
I drive a dead woman's car. Not a big deal.
Nah. I have an update, a weekly one of such nature. My Johnny, my son, he's been in a little bit of pain, I guess, so to speak.
Oh,
I don't know. So Amy and I are sitting on the couch and we're watching a movie or something. Johnny's off at this event with some of his buddies from school. And he texts me and says, hey, Dad, I just broke my knee.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, oh, okay, that's hilarious. You're funny, blah, blah, blah. He's like, no, man, I heard it.
Oh.
And I'm like, whatever.
Oh.
So he's. I go to pick him up, and, you know, because like his event's over, I said, well, do you need to go to the hospital or whatever? Because I'm really just kind of playing into whatever he's trying to feed me.
Right.
And because it's kind of weird that he would even say that he broke his knee. But so whatever.
You're a loving dad, I can tell.
Yeah, no, I'm a terrible dad. I just put some dirt on it, son. You'll be fine.
That's right.
But I go to pick him up, and he's like limping out, and I'm like, oh man, he really did hurt himself.
Oh no.
I was afraid to tell his mom because he texted me and told me, and he was afraid to tell Amy because he was afraid that she would freak out.
Right.
And, you know, you have to go leave.
The I will come and save you.
Yeah. So he's limping. I'm like, oh man, this is not good. And so he gets in the car. I'm like, so what'd you do? He said, I dislocated my patella. I'm like, is that even possible? So
I checked it out on Google.
He must have done something because you can actually do that. I didn't know that you could until he did it. But his friends were downstairs, and they were working out. They were doing lunges. Like, what? So he said, yeah, I was doing a lunge, and I had my slides on, and my foot slipped. And my leg turned weird, and I heard a popping noise.
Oh.
And I looked down, and my kneecap is on the side of my leg.
Ah!
What?
Ah! Is that what the patella is?
The kneecap.
I thought
The
patella was an 80s Christian rock band. Oh, wait, that's Petra. Never mind. Oh,
fire it up.
Get on your knees and fight like a man. Yeah.
Beyond belief. anyways, he doesn't remember doing this part, but after his kneecap dislocated, he looks down and it's over on the side of his leg. He says, I'm going to move it back.
Yes, and please.
All of his friends are like, whoa. And so he pops it back into place.
Yes. Amen.
I'm like, no,
that's what you're supposed to do.
I would do that.
Yes, I would. I'd freaking get that thing back in there.
He just put it right back in place and is like, oh man, okay, everything's good. So we are still in the midst of getting things figured out because I had to take him to like urgent care the next morning and mm-hmm. Take an x-rays. I'm like, well, it looks like it's fine, but we want you to see a orthopedic person. And so we get an appointment over there and they look at it and say, well, it's probably okay. We want you to get an MRI though.
Oh my goodness. So
now we've got to get an MRI, and they're like, if everything looks okay from that, then he won't have to have surgery, but he might have to have surgery. And I'm like,
cause they wanted to make sure the juicy parts are in place. That's what the MRI is for. The bones are fine, but are the juicy parts fine?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still limping around?
He's wearing a knee brace and he's okay, but he's hamming it up a little bit or anything. That's for sure.
Is he getting girls to sign his cast or?
I should get him a gold marker so he can sign his knee brace.
I'm just my patella, my poor patella.
Hey, you should feel sorry for me because I dislocated my kneecap.
I was doing lunges wearing slides like a smart person.
He was wearing slides. Did I say that?
Yeah. I've heard that orthopedic people love flip-flops and slides because those things cause so many injuries.
Yep. Yeah, we like to call those a little bonus on your feet right there.
My wife was wearing some and stepped off a bus one time weird. And like it was just further down than she thought it would be, and it turned her ankle, and you could hear a just an audible crack. And I took a picture with an old phone, and every now and then I'd run across this 1.2 megapixel, you know, photo of her red inflamed ankle. It's like somebody blew up a balloon inside of her ankle, and she had to wear some sort of brace that actually went down further and made her leg longer so that when she stepped on it, it was like she was stepping on a peg leg instead of stepping on her own heel, you know?
Shiver me timber.
Yeah, it was weird. It had a stirrup at the bottom, but her foot wasn't in the stirrup. It was strapped up to be about an inch higher, you know, from the bottom so that she could still walk around, but kind of float. You know, and her calf took all the pressure, you know, so
interesting.
Yeah, it was gross. I took a picture of it so I could show it to her over and over and over again. So she would get queasy. So everybody tell you this, say, thank God James Kennison is not my husband. All right, there you go. Hey, real quick, I got an announcement. I want you to help us to become an award-winning podcast. It is my dream. It is my hope. It is my fantasy. It is my one goal in life. It is the only thing I want is to be an award-winning podcast. And the podcast awards, you can Google them, is the way we're going to do it. And so I need you to go and vote for us. If you would, go to nlcast.com and click on the vote button, and you can vote for That Story Show in the comedy, description or category. And then you can for kids and family, you can do Red School Bus, and then you can choose us again for People's Choice Award. And that would be awesome if you would do that. You do have to sign up. It's a pain in the rear, but I wouldn't ask if it didn't mean the world to me. So again, go to nlcast.com or just Google the podcast awards and sign up and throw your vote in there for comedy, best comedy podcast, That Story Show. We appreciate it. And we love you in advance. Now let's do some listener stories. All right, real quick though, a word from our sponsors.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right. Let's do a voicemail. It's called Goat Maze, and I didn't catch who it was from. Sorry about that.
Hello, Rooftop Sister Beta and Poo Flinger. It's the poser here. Sorry, I had something stuck in my throat there. so I'm calling about That Story Show. And I got a story for you. So, John, you remember how you were talking about how you used to fling goat poo at people?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a story about goats. When I was in high school, I used to volunteer as staff at a summer camp. The camp director would keep goats because they would eat poison ivy, weeds, and scrubby little trees. One day, the program director thought up a fun activity for the campers. We would build a maze.
Mm.
He gathered up some staff members and threw down a pile of metal rebar and some 2-inch electrical tape. We pounded the rebar into the ground to form a grid, and then we used the tape to create a series of twists, turns, and dead ends.
Mm.
When we were done, we were very proud of our maze and couldn't wait for the campers to try it out tomorrow. The next day, we eagerly led the campers out to our maze, but someone else was already there. Scattered throughout the maze were the goats, munching happily away on the tape.
Oh.
The maze was completely destroyed.
That's great.
The only things left were a few strands of tape and a bunch of metal rebar poking up out of the ground like some sort of weird forest. So we rebuilt the maze, and the campers had great fun playing in it until the goats ate it all up again. And that was the end of our maze. Oh, and in case you were wondering, the stupid goats were just fine. And that's the story of why I hate goats. So anyway, as it turns out, John, goats will eat just about anything and everything. So, yeah.
That's true.
Anyway, I hope your week is a certified banger. Cheers. Oh,
certified banger. I don't even know what that means.
Banger.
So... anyway,
it's a good week, yeah.
Yeah, he called me a sister rooftop beater, and you a goat poo flinger. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Took me a while.
Sister rooftop beater.
Yeah, it's from the Triple Wide trailer.
I gotcha.
The electrocution episode where I hit my sister with a broom because I thought she was being attacked by a spider.
Trying to rescue her.
Yeah, but she was being electrocuted. So,
yeah.
So anyway,
she made it.
She did. She's alive.
James, I got a story for you about snakes.
Oh, no.
Not just any snakes, James. These are garbage snakes.
Garbage snakes.
I hope you're ready. This comes to us from Ava. My name is Ava, and she said it's pronounced Ava, even though it's spelled E-V-A.
She's been dealing with that her whole life.
Avi, I bet she has. Like, Mom, could you just have named me with an A instead of an E?
Oh, no, I wanted to be cute. So,
yeah, I wanted you to have to explain to every person you meet that it's Ava.
Every single substitute teacher, every first year of every new grade. Yeah.
Ava. Well, Ava, she says, so recently me and my family got to go down to Virginia for a vacation in the middle of nowhere.
She sounds really appreciative of her family's hard-earned money.
The inflection is mine. It's not Ava's.
She did say the middle of nowhere, though. She's not thrilled.
Middle of nowhere. Did they have internet? No.
No.
Did they have places for you to charge your iPhone?
No.
It's middle of nowhere.
Middle. The very middle.
But you know what it did have? It had a little pond for kayaking and fishing. And there's this pavilion with a small kitchen hut thingy on the back, on the pond dock.
Hmm.
Sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We left garbage bags at the dock, and I was tasked with fetching them with our golf cart, since it was about a mile away from the house. So I set out on an adventure, making sure to put the pedal to the metal and blast music. Now, I have to say pedal to the metal lightly because this thing only goes like 20 miles per hour.
Yeah, but you get to drive a golf cart as a kid. That's amazing.
So. Pretty awesome, actually. I would have loved that opportunity myself, even if it was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
When I got to the dock, I approached the hut. I turned the handle, and right as I opened the door, a thick, black rat snake fell.
Hell!
Right on top of me. James, it fell on her.
No, I would not need a golf cart. I would run all the way back home to the side of nowhere. I would get the freak out of the middle of nowhere.
I would get out of the middle of nowhere to the side of nowhere. She said, I called my dad as I watched the snake slither into the wall.
Oh, yeah. That's even better. You know what's better than worse than a snake that you see is a snake that you can't see anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Slithered into the wall.
Now you never know where he's going to come back out and get you. Oh.
It's in there somewhere. I remember when I was in my attic one day and I saw some stupid snake poke his little head out of a hole in the wood and just kind of looked at me like, what are you doing here? I was like, you're not going to be in here much longer if I ever catch you. I tried to catch him that day, but anyways, that's a different story. Ava says, I shakily explained what happened to my dad, who apparently had me on speakerphone because the whole time I could just hear my whole family belly laughing at my misfortune in the background. He told me I didn't have to get the garbage bags, but I was determined. So I hung up and I walked through that door.
Look at there.
When I opened the cabinet and grabbed the garbage bags, another snake came out of the cabinet. That sounds like she was in air there after garbage bags. Sounds like she was in the Temple of Doom.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's like, why did it have to be snakes? I just want the garbage bags. But she stuck her hand in, grabbed out the garbage bags and almost got bit by another snake.
Oh.
She said, I left so fast and burst into tears because of how much adrenaline was coursing through my body. But at least I got the garbage bags.
I'm 48. Ava. I'd be crying my head out. I'd be crying. I'd be weeping.
I would be like, I'm not going in there, Dad. You get your own stupid garbage
bags. Dadgummit. Yeah. I don't even know how to tell my dad. I'm like, I know you left us when I was four, but I'm not getting your trash. You're not worth it. You didn't. What have you done for me? Let's see. Basil Lascardis. I hope I did that right. It's a story called Major Misdirection. This story actually happened while I was listening to your show. while I doubt it will make it on the show, I thought it would be a good laugh for you. To give this a bit of context, I listen to your shows while driving across the state to spend some weekends with my grandfather. This past weekend, I was listening to episode 416, Weed Man, of that story show, and I was listening at nearly full volume to hear it over my loud vehicle. And then you called out a bit loudly on your phone, "Hey Google, what's the Keystone State?" That's going to activate my Google. Stop. Hey Google, stop. Thank you. All right. It's like a never-ending story here. Well, your phone may not have heard it, but mine certainly did. It paused the podcast, and it pulled up information about Pennsylvania. I didn't bother to look at my phone, but I got a good laugh out of it and continued driving. I thought that was the end of it, though, but I soon realized that the GPS was prompting me to get off the interstate at the very next exit and turn around. I did not make the connection at first, but after pulling over, I could see that my hour-and-a-half drive had become a 10-hour drive, and at the top of my screen, Pennsylvania had been added to my list of stops. I got another good laugh out of me, or you got another good laugh out of me, and I hope it will for you too, Basil Ascartis. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. I'll try not to do that anymore.
Yeah, we're just going to add another, 10 hours to your day. Hey, Siri, take me to Atlanta, Georgia. Somebody's phone is going to go off. Rerouting to Atlanta, Georgia.
Alexa, play that story show.
There you go. Yes. We're going to have a whole bunch of people mad at us.
They're going to be so mad.
We're going to have a lot more stories coming in now.
Alexa, set the temperature to 95.
Temperature rerouting to 95.
Oh, here.
So hot. Oh man. Well, Basil, thanks for sending that in.
Yeah, man.
I got a story here from a family.
Oh,
it's a whole family. Cool. It's the McKnight family from Wickenburg, Arizona.
They were so excited to hear that their story got put in the show. They emailed me right back and said, "Oh, we're big fans. Thanks."
Well, awesome. Well, McKnight family, this is you and this is your story. This is Canine Contraband. Dear That Story Show, we are big fans. Our family loves to listen to your show. Thank you so much.
Yep.
Due to your recent no poop stories policy, I now understand why my unisex bathroom story never aired.
Yes.
Actually, did
no?
Did we not read that?
We did not read that one. We may have done a unisex bathroom one before, but we did not read that one.
And that one did not make it.
No,
sorry,
did not.
Well, good news for you, James. This story does not include any poop.
Thank you.
So your rating should be okay if you decide to read it, of course. And that's what I'm doing, so here we go. One afternoon, I was enjoying a slice of pizza at my house. I'm so hungry. I got up to go to the bathroom and left my slice of pizza and its corresponding paper plate on the ottoman in front of my couch. Yes, I realize the inclusion of a paper plate in this story may seem like an unnecessary detail, but it becomes very relevant, trust me. As I returned from the bathroom, I noticed my dog, Cecil. You know, like Fielder, the baseball player, Cecil Fielder? I don't know if I pronounced that right because I'm not a... Do you know who Cecil Fielder
is? No, I have no idea.
Okay.
Lost on me.
I think I said Cecil is right, so... If not, that's your dog's new name, by the way. Cecil, get out of the garbage there. Cecil was eating the last of my pizza from off the plate. I yelled at Cecil, who is a Labrador retriever. Anyone who's ever owned a Labrador will note that they are very mildly behaved dogs. Mildly behaved. What does that mean, James?
I don't know. I don't know if he means they're kind of behaved or they're just mild, like
mild
and chill.
Mild and well-behaved. Like Labrador, like golden retrievers. I know they're like super friendly and all that fun stuff.
So maybe they're just not bad. Like my dog, I have a tiny dog and she's bad. She will go find socks and underwear and drag them around the house and she'll get into trash. So maybe that's what he means. They're just like mild mannered, like
mild,
like Superman, you know.
Somewhat mischievous, perhaps.
No.
Because, I mean, if my cat were to jump up on the couch and start eating my pizza, I would have to find a new home for her.
I think he's just trying to say this isn't typical, like, all the time.
Gotcha.
Like,
gotcha.
Like they will do bad things, but it's not normal.
Labrador.
So.
Oh, well, here we go. Well, however, they do tend to freeze up and not know what to do when they know they're in trouble. In this case, I was yelling at Cecil. She completed the slice of pizza and, in true Labrador freeze-up fashion, proceeded to eat the paper plate.
What?
I don't know what you do. I'm just going to keep munching on the plate here. I feel so bad about eating up that pizza.
Just doing normal stuff. You're nothing to see.
Maybe if I eat the plate, they won't think it was me.
There'll be no evidence. It's dog logic, you know?
Well, my anger quickly turned to amusement as Cecil, without the use of any of her paws, ingested the entire paper plate as if in slow motion, staring at me with her helpless eyes. Cecil consumed the plate and awkwardly swallowed it down. She looked like a drug mule swallowing his stash of contraband as the officer is pulling him over.
She's making eye contact the whole time, you know.
Giving him the side eye.
Yeah.
Hey, can he see me? Maybe if I eat slow, he won't know that I'm eating this plate.
Oh, man. I rank that in the top three hardest laughing moments of my life. Oh. I hope it makes it on the show.
Oh.
Did it? Oh, yes. They say that the McKnight family says, stay classy and let me know if you ever want to lift your poop story banner.
No.
Because I got a great one about a Labrador pooping out a paper plate. I'm just kidding. I made all that up, but I'm sure that's where that's going.
Oh, my gosh. No. You know how many listeners we lost during our poop story phase? I mean, well, you know how it works is if you tell one poop story, 1,300 people say, oh, that reminds me. I have a poop story.
Yeah.
And that happens with any topic. Like just now, we just read a story about a dog eating pizza. 1,500 people this week will be like, my dog ate something and it was really funny. And please do send it in. I'm not saying don't send it in. I'm just saying that's typically the way the show works. And so to end the poop flow, I had to stop the poop stories. And now we don't get them anymore. And it's great. And we lost a lot of listeners. People were emailing me like, it's just too gross. We can't handle it. And I'm like, I agree. But this
agree,
is,
I'm
you
sorry.
Know, the show is the shaped by the stories that come in. So I had to just put a ban on.
So we have to put a limiter on things, unfortunately, and we're sorry.
No, I'm not. They were gross. They were gross stories. I'm not sad a bit. Oh, if I could tell you about the one that did it for me, the straw story that broke my camel's back. It was not good. Anyway. Evan from Indiana says he's got a story from called Balloon Battle. Hey, James and John, many years ago as a camp counselor for 6th through 8th graders at a week-long overnight camp, this particular summer was extremely hot, and the leadership tried to improvise activities that would allow the kids to be outside without getting too overheated, and one of them was a water balloon fight. And as I was filling up balloons, I noticed not only were they pretty big for water balloons, about the size of a football, the package didn't mention anything about water at all. So I shrugged, being 19 at the time, assuming the leaders knew what they were doing. And I give each kid a water balloon, and we began walking to the field to have this big water balloon fight. But on the way, one of the boys decided, hey, I'm going to throw my balloon a little early. So he ran up as fast as he could and threw his football-sized balloon as hard as he could at an unsuspecting back of one of the girls, of course. The water balloon hit her like a rock between the shoulder blades. And then hit the ground without breaking. She let out a loud groan and went down on one knee. It had knocked the wind right out of her.
Oh, no.
Oh, how bad do you feel? But fortunately, there was no other injuries. Needless to say, we broke our balloons over our own heads. We popped them that way. And we didn't risk killing each other with them. Hope you liked my story. Evan from Indiana. So,
man.
Yeah, there's the reasons why you get the little water balloons. They pop easy. They don't hurt much. And a bag of water is it would hit you like a rock. It It would.
And hurt. Yeah. Have you seen those water balloons that are super easy to fill up? They come in like a big bundle.
Like a bunch
of balloons,
of
I think they're called.
Yeah.
Those things are cool, man.
They're very cool.
If they would have had those when I was a kid, my neighborhood wouldn't have been safe.
Yeah, there would have been rubber waste everywhere.
It would have been, yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably why they, you know, kind of limit those things too.
That's true. I would have thrown them at cars and I would have gotten in big trouble and probably caused an accident. Because we, early life, when I was really dumb, we lived in the north side of Jacksonville on Lenoid Road and there were cars always going by. And one time we decided to throw rocks at cars and we got in big trouble for that. And because we didn't think of them as having people in them, we just thought of them as something to bounce rocks off of, you know? I don't know.
Yeah,
we weren't thinking like we were going to hurt anybody or anything. We just, and they weren't big rocks. They were little rocks, little pebbles, you know, but somebody pulled over and came to my house and told my mom and we hid in the bushes and got in big trouble. But, I would have thrown water balloons happily at them. So,
well, when I was a kid, we didn't have like a real busy street. I was probably, let me guess, I was probably 4 or 5 at this time. And, we, you know, there are cars go up and down our road, you know, because it's kind of like a neighborhood sort of thing. And the neighbors across the street, they had water balloons and they were tying them up to fishing line.
Mm.
And I thought, man, it looks so cool. I want to do something with that. And so they said, hey, we got a job for you. And so I was like, I want to do something because there's a water balloon, right? And they said, you're going to hold the end of this line and we're going to do something with this. So what they did is they threw the fishing line up over the phone line.
Oh my gosh.
All of our power and utilities came in through phone lines down the street, right?
Yeah.
So they threw it up over that and one of the lines would go across the street to the neighbor's house. And so they had a perfect position to, you know, hover a balloon up over the cars.
This is dangerous.
So they set me up, man. These guys, they're teenagers, I guess. And so they set up and they said, okay, we want you to hold this line. And on the other end of the line going up over the power or the phone line was the water balloon just dangling in midair. And they said, when we tell you to let go of it, we want you to let go. Okay. I was like, okay, you guys are paying attention to me.
This
you must
awesome.
Think I'm somebody.
Yeah.
And so, so this car comes down the road and they say, okay, get ready. And I'm holding on to this line. I'm thinking, I got one job, man. This is going to be great. And they say, all right, let go. And so right as the car goes underneath, it drops down right behind the car, just barely misses it and splashes it. And that car stopped.
Oh, no.
And those dudes, they got up and ran. And me, I'm just kind of sitting there like, what do I do? The nice thing is that they didn't suspect me.
Oh, that's me nice. That's good.
Dropping the balloon. So I don't remember what happened after that, to be honest. But man, I think those dudes got in trouble because they were friends with my sister.
Uh-huh.
And my sister probably told on them.
Yeah.
And so I didn't get in trouble. But man, that was a great memory.
You got played.
I didn't hit the car though. I was hoping I would have. Maybe I was too scared that I was going to get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe you were. Well, I'm glad you didn't cause an accident. No.
Yeah. That would have been bad, I guess.
That would have been a terrible thing to be like, well, I threw the water balloon and it shattered the front windshield, causing the driver to swerve right into my friends.
And jeez.
They were rammed into a pulp, pieces of body pieces were everywhere. Rammed into the old lady's house that lived next door to me, right into her living room. And she didn't last very long with an engine block in her face.
Oh, jeez. Jeez.
I just stood there.
It got dark.
Just stood there wondering, when does the fun start? When's the funny part? Why did they involve me? And why are they strapping me into this jacket? And my hands wrapped around the back. Why are they putting me in kit jail? I didn't do anything to deserve this.
Nice callback, man.
Yeah.
Callbacks are always funny.
Oh, So anyway, dark. The dark story's over. So
it would have been a totally different story show.
Yeah, it could have happened. It would have been something out of a John Carpenter film. But anyway, we got one more story. Let's do it.
Oh, and this one's for me to read.
Yeah.
This is Plate Pirate. Is this about a dog, perhaps, that eats your food when you walk away unsuspecting? No, this is from Joanne Bretz in Ohio. So I've been listening to your podcast since Nobody's Listening. Oh, probably wow. 2010 or 2012 or 2013. Yeah. I, like so many other people, was looking for a clean podcast while I worked at my cleaning job in the very early morning.
Yeah. You should listen to a clean podcast if you're cleaning. It just makes sense.
I think it would make you do a better job, in fact.
Yeah.
Yeah, you listen to a dirty podcast while you're cleaning. You there's might, no telling what you're going to
miss. You never know what kind of crap you're going to leave around. Yeah. So there you go.
Well, Joanne says, I had since stopped doing that job and have moved on to other things, and I didn't have any chance to listen to podcasts for some time. I have since started listening again and have tried to pick up where I left off. I've always thought about sending in a story, but I hadn't until now.
Well, I'm glad you did.
Yeah, it's about time.
Dadgummit.
It's only been about 10 years.
Goodness.
Well, I guess we can keep doing this then. Joanne says, I have 4 children. I'm also a grandmother to 2 beautiful boys and a little girl on the way. Well, congratulations. This story is about my 3rd child, my youngest daughter. She was always the one to watch out for. She was always getting into something or climbing on everything, you know. I have many stories about her. Many stories. Something about that 3rd child, right?
Yeah.
Is that the one that you just kind of give up on?
Yeah, we
you
know, were talking about that. Baby. My kids and I and my wife were eating dinner and on our trip. And Jenna's like, why didn't we have another kid? And we're like, we saved you guys from the weird one. The 3rd kid's always a weirdo. So
3rd kid. Yeah, you know what? I'm technically the 3rd kid.
Oh, so no. There you go.
I'm right smack dab in the middle. Got an older brother and sister and then 2 younger sisters. So that's me right in the middle there. So
you're,
I can relate.
You're weird.
Perhaps, in
you're
some way.
A weirdo.
I'm the weird. Well, you know, everybody forgets about the middle child. They just.
Well, not on our show. You're
not on our show.
You're front and center, buddy.
That's right. The 3rd child's coming out. Well, 3rd child, this is one I've told many people, this story. And of course, I get the eye roll from her now whenever I tell it. So she was probably about 4 or 5 at the time. And me and my other children were at church one day. It's a Catholic church. So they were going row to row, passing the offering basket around. Well, just FYI, they do that in the Baptist church as well.
Yes.
And probably every church. Just, you know, that's how they do. My daughter was sitting next to me and a lady whom we didn't know was sitting next to her. As they passed the basket down the row, the lady next to my daughter passed the basket full of paper money piled up inside the basket over to my daughter. My daughter had a very confused look on her face when the lady handed it to her, but she proceeded to take the basket from her and then reach inside with the other hand and take a handful of cash out before she handed the basket back over to me.
They're giving out money, Mom.
Mom, I want to take up the offering too.
I love church.
Yeah. I love taking up the offering. They always make me give it back. Of course, I had to correct her and let her know it was not for her to take. And then I handed her the money that I was going to put in the offering and let her put that money in the basket as well.
I'm sure that was not a great consolation prize. Thanks. Yeah. Not only do I not get to keep the money I stole, I don't even get to keep the money we have. So.
That's right. I get to put more money in the basket. Me and the lady next to my daughter had a great laugh. I have other stories about my daughter when she was younger, because she's a 3rd child.
Yes.
But I'll save them for another time. I added that emphasis there, by the way. Thanks so much for doing the show. It had gotten me through many, many tough mornings at my cleaning job. And now I'm doing my own thing at my computer and listening to your show. And sometimes I have to stop typing because I'm laughing so hard.
All right.
Take care and God bless you all. Joanne Brett's from Ohio.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Thank you, everyone, for your awesome stories. We do appreciate it. Shirley, you have a funny life story. Whatever your story is, call us toll-free, 833-55-STORY, or email thatstoryshow@gmail.com. Review us on iTunes or wherever you found us. And thanks to our patrons for your support, with special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today. I mean, more stories. That's basically what we're talking about at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed, don't go into the place after the snake falls on your freaking head. Just take that as an omen that there's going to be more snakes and think, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next time. God bless. Take care. Peace out.
She was brave, wasn't she?
She wasn't brave. She was stupid. That was stupid. You don't go to a... If a snake falls on your head, that is an omen. That's like the opposite of getting pooped on. Like, some people say bird crapping on you is good luck. What? People who say that have never been crapped on by a bird, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And you know, a snake falling on you is right up there with breaking a mirror or walking under. I mean, that it's not even in the... It's beyond that. It's like, if there's a snake that has fallen on you, that house is cursed. There's a devil in there.
And you need to burn the whole place down.
Yes. Yeah, there's spiders and snakes. And, it'd be like if there was a snake that showed up at your wedding. Don't get married.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.